Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming out. My name is Andrew Corbin. I'm Washington State University Extension faculty. And I'd like to thank my co-authors, Steve Franson, forage specialist, and Steve Jones, director of the research station where these trials were conducted. So, let's talk about alfalfa. In our area, we ask the question, why or why not alfalfa? Nobody grows alfalfa in our region, and I'll talk about the regional challenges and some new suitable varieties that are available. I'll talk about yield and some one point on non-dominant biomass, forage quality, organic potential for this crop in our region, and if we have time, we can talk about research funding. So this is Northwest Washington. For those of you unfamiliar with the area, you can see the city of Seattle. My county is right in between the city and the research station in Mount Vernon where this trial was conducted. The west side of Washington is known as the wet side. This squiggly line down the middle here, do I got a cursor? Yeah. This is the Cascade Mountain Range. So everything on the west side is wet, everything on the east side is dry, and alfalfa production is very common in the high desert of the eastern side of the state. Under center pivot irrigation, there's mega production of alfalfa. Very typical of our river systems that lead into this sound, our farming takes place in a series of levees and dikes along the river valleys. So what you're looking at here is one of our rivers that's close to where we were experimenting with alfalfa. Everywhere that's yellow is farmed, and everywhere that's hatched is in the 100-year flood zone. The 100-year floods come in our region about every 3 to 4 years. So looking at it in real time here, this is 2009. This is a typical flood event where the river just can't handle what's coming off the mountains. We don't simulate rain events very often. The rain is pretty consistent for us. But here's a typical, so if I go back to this one, you could see here, the city of Stanwood, adjacent to this region. This is Stanwood right here. So very typical event for us. Similarly, we have many river systems. So along this is the, just to show you, this is the river. Everything else you see here is farmland that's in the valley that's just been inundated by water. So looking close at the farms, you get a lot of this kind of activity, whether it's spring or fall. You might see something like this. You'll see attempts to drain the fields using a deep V ripper. This is a kind of a common practice where we are. So farmers are like, no, we don't grow alfalfa. We can't grow alfalfa. It's too wet. Alfalfa doesn't like to be wet. It's true. But that's not all of our farms are not necessarily in the floodway. We have plenty of ground that's well drained and upland enough to where we can produce alfalfa. It's just the folklore of the region that it's not done, we don't do it, nobody does it. We grow grass here. We grow the best grass in the world. This is a typical scene for our region, grass, and again, you know, the river overspills, and there's no thought of growing alfalfa. So if I haven't convinced you now that we're a wet side of the state, I think I'll just move on. So, like I said, a little bit more sandy, well-drained ground is available, upland, in many areas around our region. So We target those areas to try alfalfa. So we set up a variety trial. This is at the Mount Vernon Research Station. Pretty simple, completely randomized design, 3 reps. It's on certified organic ground. We use untreated non-GMO seed. I'll talk about that a little bit later. All OMRI-listed inoculants, which you obviously have to inoculate your alfalfa because it's just not used to being grown around there. It's a must. Dry land. No irrigation was used whatsoever, even with establishment. We sourced fall dormancy ratings in the low 2, 3, or 4, and highly resistant ratings for bacterial wilt, verticillium, fusarium, and phytophthora root rot. Beautiful, right? Look at that. We can grow alfalfa in Western Washington. This is ready for the second cut. That's our variety trial. Farmers and researchers scratching their heads saying, wow, look at that, alfalfa. It's different for them. But we have several Organic Valley growers in the region, all very interested in alfalfa. And some of these guys were here today visiting and just like what they saw. Unfortunately, the experiment station has no gear whatsoever to deal with the crop because we don't grow alfalfa. So we got the help of a local farmer to help us take it down. We did all hand harvest for the analyses and then asked the local farmer to help us to harvest it. And he did a beautiful job, despite it's just a little plot with 7 varieties replicated 3 times in it. You know, again, did everything by hand, and then he just took off the whole plot as one. This is second cutting, and this is going to be kind of typical for our region. First cutting and last cutting out of 4 would be wrapped haylage, and the 2 in the middle, cut 2 and cut 3, we did as dry bales, 50-pound bales. Beautiful. It's such a sight. Nobody's ever seen that at the station. So, this is ready for cut 3. What's missing from this picture? Anybody? It's beautiful, right? So, weeds. I didn't see any weeds. This is first cutting. We kept track of just total weed biomass, whatever is non-dominant. First cutting, there was some uneven, you know, a couple of different planting dates, and some of the varieties differed in their emergence. So we had a little bit of difference in weeds for first cutting, but once we cut it once, there was no significant weeds in there whatsoever. It wasn't even worth collecting the data. So let's look at yield. First cut, you can see a little bit of variability between varieties. Again, a lot of that had to do with a couple different planting dates based on when we could get the seed, and then just the variety differences. Second cutting, a little less variable. Same with third, and then fourth cutting. It's really amazing to get 4 cuttings of alfalfa in Western Washington. So we were happy with what we came up with there. A little on forage quality. Unbelievable. I mean, what we have across this top is the cut number. So cuttings across the top. And then we looked at acid detergent fiber, neutral detergent fiber, relative feed value, and total digestible nutrients, and crude protein. So in this matrix, the red block is supreme. Premium for green and so on. And this is from the UC quality. And of course, we know California has the best quality, right? So we use that matrix. But the, just to give you an idea of some of the ranges, so lowest to highest, and with ADF and NDF, high is bad, low is good. So ranging from 44 to 32 in NDF. Relative feed value as high as 197. Total digestible nutrients, all supreme for the first cut in all varieties. And crude protein, lowest was 18 and highest was 28. And it was all pretty high. So if you look at the cumulative yield, I can show you that in a column graph. The significance is along the side. If you look closely at, say, for example, the one with the most, the lowest quality had the highest yield, and this is pretty typical for alfalfa. Look at the ones with the most blue, and you have the highest yield. But the yields didn't differ that much. It was a lot of yield, good yields. I submitted some of these dry bales to the Evergreen State Fair because nobody grows alfalfa, right? So they're like, "Whoa, what, hey, where'd you get that?" You know, they were questioning me, but I said, "Yeah, I grew it here." And look at all the colors I got. Pretty cool, even though they're the only entrants in those categories. I want to touch on the seed production potential. We're a big seed growing area. The infrastructure is all in place to do grass seed, vegetable seed. You know, we don't have all the right harvest gear necessarily, but there's plenty of combines around. But it was difficult to get organic seed for this trial. Even Albert Lee, you know, these two varieties are available as certified organic sometimes and very briefly. They sell out really fast. So I had to go through the statement from all of the seed producers that these are non-GMO and untreated. So the potential is there for us to tap into that market. This trial was done on zero budget. We had no gear. I had help. The seed companies, you know, donated the seed, and these individuals helped me on a volunteer basis. So I especially want to thank Jim Fedema and Charlie Lundgren, our two local farmers that helped us to harvest the crop. So glad to take questions at this point. Am I following up with the perenniality?
Yeah.
Yes. I was sure someone would ask that question, and that's why I prompted you with the zero budget thing and the possibility of research funding. I mean, as an extension agent, I want to get farmers to try things, but if I can't, I mean, I couldn't get funding from, you know, even the most. People just are like, they don't grow alfalfa there, you know? Even all the seed people were like, "What? You want to grow alfalfa where?" But to answer your question, I have no really good data from year two because we didn't have the resources to collect it. And I think that's a big problem in organic research at this point. I mean, it could be followed up next year if we can get it funded. Plot's still there, and they, you know, we still had just basic harvest through the. And I did talk to the farmer who harvested it this year, and you know, they were not on top of it. He was way too late. It was flowered out, so the quality was down. But I mean, it's still a really robust stand, you know, weed free and raring to go. Any others?
Well, I think we.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.